Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Hope you can all hear me well. It's great to be with you. It's a beautiful sunny morning down here in Kent. Hopefully the sun is out where you are. Today, as always, really, but today I want us to focus on Jesus, to make him the centre of everything. Let me just read this verse here from Revelation 3, verse 20. It's Jesus speaking to the church at Laodicea. Jesus is not speaking to unbelievers here. Sometimes this verse can be used in that way. He's speaking to his people, to a church. And this is what he says. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. It seemed that the Laodicean church had somehow been carrying on as church. They probably thought they were a perfectly normal functioning church, but Jesus had been left outside. And that's a real challenge for us this morning. And that is a challenge that I'd like us to take up, to think about, to evaluate. Is Jesus at the centre of Fressingfield Baptist Church? Is he at the centre of our church family, our desires, our ambitions as a church, our prayer life, our faith? Because we can be doing lots of great things, which I think we are, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're a Jesus-centred church. And so this morning, we're going to think about that, and all the songs that have been chosen are chosen in mind with us to try and focus on Jesus and who he is. So let's pray. Lord, we give this time to you now. Lord, we're thankful that we have this time. Lord, we're thankful that we even have a desire in us, Lord, to be here today. Lord, we know you have put that desire in our heart. You have made it possible, Lord, because you love us and you gave Jesus for us. And so, Lord, our prayer, our desire today is that we will become, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, the people that you want us to be, Lord. We want to be a family that represents you well, Lord, that represents the gospel of Jesus Christ well, Father. That's what we want. So, Lord, as we come in worship and prayer and to listen to your word today, Lord, if there's things that we need to perhaps bring into the light, Lord, things that we need to repent of, things that we need to change, to move to the edge, move away from the centre, Lord, then, Lord, give us that grace, that humility to do that. And, Lord, I pray that this morning will be a reflective experience for us, but Lord, it will be a positive experience as we find real joy, Lord, in looking to Jesus Christ, Father. And he would be the one that lifts us up. He would be the one, Lord, that we want to lift up, Father. So Lord, we give ourselves to you now. Help us to come and worship you, Lord, and give you the praise, Lord, that is due to your name. And we also just remember those mentioned, Lord, who are not well today. Father, by your grace, by your Spirit, Lord, I pray you administer healing and comfort to their bodies right now, Father, that they would know and feel your presence. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read now, shall we, from God's word. Daniel's going to read for us. Thank you, Daniel, for doing this morning. And we're going to be reading from the third letter of John. Not a place we often go to, is it? Third letter of John. I have already preached this sermon before. I think I should own up to that. But I've slightly edited this sermon and modified it because it's just been on my heart for... This is on my heart for you guys, really. So I'm hoping this really speaks to us this morning. So yeah, Daniel, take it away, mate. Thank you for reading a third letter of John.
The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in the manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that you may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate that it is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good for God, anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you to, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends, therefore, they're by name.
I just want to quick mention that verse 13. Oh, wow, that's so prominent now, isn't it? I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Wow, that's what we're longing for. Do you know what? There's so much I'm looking forward to doing in Fressingfield, but I don't want to do it like this. I want to do it face to face. I love that verse. That's really prominent now, isn't it? So we're gonna sing again now, and you know, sometimes it's sad, isn't it? We need to be reminded, and I'm talking to myself as well, that we're not the centre of the universe, and that church isn't about us, and whatever our desires are in church, church is about Jesus working in us. It always has been, it always will be. You know, church is not a business, but we do need to handle money and very difficult to operate if we're in debt. Church is not an administration, but we do need to be organised and legal. Church is about Jesus, and it's about how he builds and inspires his church. So with that in mind, let's sing this song together. Let's pray this song together for ourselves, for each other. Yet not I, but Christ in me.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my thank you.
So, 3 John, that's where we are this morning. Now, you must remember this game. I used to love this game when I was younger, called Where's Wally? Remember that game, Where's Wally? While I'm talking for a few minutes, see if you can spot Wally. Red and white stripy jumper, red and white stripy hat and glasses. Generally wearing a satchel over himself. Now, what made this game really difficult is it's always in a picture where there's so much going on, isn't there? There's so much going on. There's so much happening here in this picture. And there's so much going on that you lead sort of, you can have false trails as well. You think you found him, but that isn't him. He looks a bit like him, but it isn't him. And any minute now, you might see an arrow come up on the screen, and that will reveal where Wally is, if you haven't already. There he is, right there, slap bang in the middle. There's Wally. And, you know, this kind of made me think about 3 John, this picture, because 3 John is the only letter in the New Testament that doesn't contain the word Jesus. Did you notice that in the reading? Jesus is not mentioned once. And so we need to ask, where is Jesus? Not just where is Jesus in 3 John, but where is Jesus in our life, particularly in our church? Where is Jesus? Because there is so much going on in our life, isn't there? And there is so much going on as a church family. There's lots going on at the moment, isn't there? And it's very easy to follow false trails, blind alleys, and think we're following Jesus, but actually we're not. We've gone the wrong direction. And so we need to sometimes work hard to stay focused, just like trying to find Wally in the picture, on staying focused on Jesus as God's people, and indeed in our own lives. And, you know, Jesus may not be mentioned in 3 John, but he is stamped vividly all over this letter. And I think we should ask this morning, you know, where is Jesus in your faith, in my faith this morning? Where is he? Is he at the centre of it, or is he being pushed to the margins? Are we focused on following and loving Jesus? And really, in one sense, 3 John is kind of where the rubber hits the road, if you like, of our faith. You know, if we know Jesus, you know, for who he says he is, and we have responded to him in faith, there will be a response in our lives. There will be. There'll be a response in our heart, a reorientation of our desires and the way we live our life. We will be seeking to love and serve others above our own needs. And we can see that because that's what John thinks. This is a big deal to John. 1 John 2 verse 10 says, "Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble." Wow, that's not only a challenging verse, that's a really encouraging verse, isn't it? And in the second letter of John, verse 5, he puts, "And now, dear lady, I am not writing a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another." And then, of course, John writes in his gospel, in one of my favourite chapters in the whole Bible, John 13, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And this really is the paradigm, the pattern for our faith. You know, how does God love the world? Well, he demonstrates his love to us because he sends Jesus, who becomes what we are, so we might become what he is. Jesus is the centre of our faith, the pivot for all our actions and all our decisions. We serve him because we have been served by Jesus. We love because we have been loved by Jesus. We lift people up because we have been lifted up and declared righteous with God by Jesus. And my desire, my ambition, I'm not going to hide it. My desire, my ambition for myself and for you is that we will grow deeper in love with Jesus Christ as his family. That is, you know, that's just the one simple prayer that I have for myself and all of you, that we will grow deeper in love with Jesus. So, it's easy for me to stand and make these kind of challenges, isn't it? But what are we going to do? Well, first of all, I want you to notice this. Jesus must be at the centre of our community as God's people. Now, how do we see this in 3 John? Well, just if you've got your Bible open, look through this. Look at verse 1. John talking to his friend Gaius. He says, "Whom I love in the truth." And then in verse 3, he says, "It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth." That's that word again. Then verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth." Same phrase again. Then verse 8, he writes, "We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth." There it is again. And then one more time in verse 12. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth itself. Okay, so what is truth? What is truth? What does this word mean? Well, the Greek word used for truth is a word called aletheia. Hope I pronounced that right. And in ancient Greek culture, aletheia was synonymous with reality as opposed to illusion. Aletheia was like considered to be the starting point. It had an element of something that was no longer hidden, unconcealed. So John, in his letter, is commending Gaius and Demetrius that they are living in an unhidden reality. There was no illusion because the truth of Jesus was confirmed by their lives, by their actions, by their testimonies of those who knew and came into contact with them. They were living in the reality of 1 John 5 verse 2, which reads, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. You see, truth needs to be at the centre of our community. What does Jesus say in John 14, 16? He says, I am the way, the aletheia, the truth and the life. There's an old story someone told years and years ago. And it's a story of the devil actually walking along with one of his cohorts. And in the distance, they see a Christian or it was a Christian. And they pick up something really shiny. And the devil's cohort goes, hang on, that Christian there, he's just picked up a bit of the truth. You know, you need to stop him, don't you? And the devil goes, no, I'll let him have it. I'll let him have it. And I'll see that he makes a religion of it. And that is a challenge for us this morning. Because we need to put Jesus at the centre of our community as God's family. And when we don't, that's when we have problems. And I just want to put up this slide now. I just want to demonstrate this to you. Because this is such a key point. And we're all guilty of it. Because look, here's church. Here's church. There is Jesus at the centre of church. And I remember, church isn't the building. Church is us, God's people. And look, we've got stuff on the edges there. Worship style, building, differences of opinions, me, ourself. Now, when used in relation to Jesus, they're all okay things. We want good Jesus-centered worship. We want our resources to be used for the kingdom of God. We want variety of opinions. We want diversity in church. We don't want to be clones. We want diversity. That's the beauty of being in God's family, that anyone is welcome. And we want me and you in church. We want Jesus to be the centre of our lives. But I want to ask you this question this morning. And you know, it's a question I've had to ask myself. It's a serious question. What things are we bringing to the centre of church that may be replacing Jesus? We're saying, do you know what? Church depends on this for me. If this isn't right, I'm out. Or at the very least, I'm on the fringe and I'm not engaged. And look, you know, sometimes we can bring worship style to the centre. I've just picked some random things here. We can bring worship style into the centre. And we can say, well, I want church to be like this. Why don't we sing these kind of songs? Why don't we play these kind of instruments? Or why do we sing these kind of songs? Or why do we play these instruments? You know, and that all of a sudden it just becomes the big thing. And it's it's starting to cover up the centre, which is Jesus. Or we could make it about the building. Now that's a big thing for us at the moment, isn't it? We're building this fantastic church. We should be thankful to God for this church. But having a great fancy building, that's going to do nothing for us. That's going to do absolutely nothing for us if Jesus is not at the centre of our hearts, the centre of our worship. You know, we could be really busy in that lovely new building, but it'll be nothing better than a village hall, putting on events and different things if Jesus is not at the centre. If we're not worshipping Jesus and going with that attitude and that desire when we meet people. We can bring differences of opinions. One of the big ones, isn't it? We can bring differences of opinions, bring that to the centre of the church. Well, until my opinion is heard and I am proved to be right and people start listening to me, well, I can't get on with church because church isn't happening until that's sorted. And we start to put that at the centre. Or we can put ourselves at the centre. I'm not being fed. Church doesn't give me anything. Now, we need to listen to people who say that because they might be right. So I need to be careful how I say that. But we do not want to be consumers, do we? The gospel calls us to serve and love other people. That's what we're looking at this morning. Now, when we bring all these things in, look, Jesus is covered. And he's not only covered, he is pushed to the fringe. He's in Revelation 3:20 that we read at the beginning, that he is standing outside and knocking on the church. We do not want Fressingfield Baptist Chapel to be this picture that we see here. We cannot operate like this. No way. That is not the road to blessing. And so we need to just humbly come to this picture this morning and say, what am I bringing to the centre of church that may be replacing Jesus? Because what happens if we refuse to remove ourselves from the centre? Things start to collapse. Things start to fall away. And what happens is we stop being the church, the people that God has called us to be. And we can blame all sorts of things, but it's what we've put in the centre that has destroyed it. We have stopped being church. That should be a really sober warning to us this morning. But you know, by God's grace, it doesn't have to be like this at all, does it? So we can be hopeful. You see, it's when we put Jesus at the centre of our community as believers that we can live together without illusion, without hiddenness, without concealment, in the aletheia, the truth, yeah, of Jesus. We live in the reality of the gospel. And we actually see this in the life of Gaius. We see it in the life of Gaius. Gaius is one of the guys that John's writing to in this letter. We see that the aletheia, the truth of Jesus, is actually the only environment that church can flourish in. So look at verse 1. We see that John loved Gaius in the truth. What does that say to us? The gospel is a sphere for God's love to flourish. It is the sphere where our mutual love for each other can exist and flourish in Jesus. John loved Gaius in the truth. We see that Gaius walked in the truth. That, you know, the gospel is not just something we consent to, we agree with. It applies to our behaviour, to our relationships. The gospel changes our behaviour. And then we see verse 3, Gaius was faithful to the truth. The gospel is not just something we commit to in just one moment of our life. It is a restatement. It is a recommitment of our lives orientated in Jesus by our faith in him. One commentator says that Gaius held the truth in love, but he also loved in the truth. Now, you know, I'm a big Liverpool fan, and when Jurgen Klopp came to Liverpool in his first sort of press conference, the question that was asked to him was, look, Jurgen, how are you going to turn Liverpool into champions again? It's been so long. And he said, look, we have to change from doubters to believers. That's what we've got to do. That's the fundamental thing we've got to do. We've got to stop being doubters to being believers. And this actually is a message for us. We have to believe in the life-transforming, unrelenting, unparalleled love of Jesus, don't we? That's the only reason we're coming this morning, because of Jesus, isn't it? He is the centre. You see, if Jesus is not the centre of our community as believers, then we are failing to be the community he has called us to be. So, secondly, this morning, loving Jesus is a way of life, not just an interruption to my schedule. Let's look at verses 5 and 6 in this third letter of John. He says, dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honours God. You see, if loving Jesus is a way of life and not just a series of interruptions to my schedule, then we will engage in our church community in two ways, just like Gaius did. You'll see, first of all, it says, even though they were strangers. Gaius was impartial. Gaius was impartial. He didn't show favouritism. He didn't even know these people, but he treated them like family. The unconditional, hospitable love for one another, it's really evident in the early church, and it should be a great inspiration to us. Romans 12:13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Hebrews 13:1, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And 1 Peter 4 verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. You see, here's the thing. If we can't love people in church because we don't like them, that's actually simply a refusal to love Jesus. That's quite challenging, isn't it? Let me just repeat that. If we can't love people in church because we don't like them, then that is simply a refusal to love Jesus. So we need to love one another. Also, it means we will love God's people who publicly proclaim Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Look at verses 7 and 8. We read this. It was for the sake of the name that they went out. There we are, evangelists. Receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people. Why? So that we may work together for the truth. We can see in these verses that Gaius was practically supporting missionaries. And John, we shouldn't just think about missionaries as someone, people worldwide, detached from us. Just anyone who publicly declares the gospel has that calling. Listen to what John Stott says. He's really helpful on this. He says, the Christian missionary cooperates with the truth by proclaiming it. Okay, that's good. We can see that. We, if we are not called that evangelistic work, we cooperate with the truth by entertaining them. The Christian ministry is undertaken not just by evangelists, pastors, etc., but also by those who support them. So let me say this to you this morning. Don't demean your position in God's community of believers, because this is how Gaius and each of us, as it says in verse 8, can work together for the truth. And four times we see the word friends or dear friends in this letter. Why do we see that? Because there is friendship and partnership between all of us in the work of proclaiming Jesus to the world as Lord and Saviour. And I've got to say, me and Jane have felt something of this. You know, the way you are making us feel welcome, the lengths, we feel like royalty, really. We feel undeserving of all this compassion and practical support that you're showing. But actually, you're helping us to work together for the truth. You may not want to stand up the front and declare Jesus in this way this morning, but I may not be able to support in the way that you are. And so together we work together for the truth. It's absolutely critical. And we pray. Some of you are praying. Some of you are giving. Some of you are building and making. It's fantastic. This is how we work together for the truth. The danger for us is if we are not loving God's people, if we are not supporting our pastors, our evangelists, if we are constantly negative about a church leader or individual members, we will become like Diotrephes, who we read in verses 9 to 11. Diotrephes is, well, we'll read it. I think we should read it. Says this: I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, there he is, come pushing himself into the centre, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. You see, we can become like Diotrephes if we're just interested in pursuing our own opinions, our own agenda. We're only interested in our conversations. When we're undermining the importance of indiscriminate hospitality and love, when we end up demotivating others, stopping them from serving by our attitude, we will push Jesus away from the centre. And as we saw from the animation on the slide, church begins to collapse. We cease to be who we're called to be. So we need to love and serve each other as Christ has loved and served us. And then lastly this morning, loving Jesus means loving the stranger. We see that, verse 5. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. Now, we find this word stranger in verse 5, and I want to draw out just a slightly wider biblical use for the word, because that's vital for us as God's people. Stranger comes from the Greek word xenos. You might have heard of the word xenophobia, fear of foreigners. Comes from that word xenos. It means stranger, foreigner. And what we see in 3 John is we see Gaius. He is being hospitable to strangers. In this case, they were believers. However, throughout the Bible, believers are called to love across two worlds. The world of God's family. That's what we've kind of been thinking about for the first part of this message. And the world of strangers to God's family. Let's just look. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So, yeah, we were strangers to God. But through Jesus, he has rescued and restored us to his family. That alone should begin to neutralize any discriminations that we hold. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, I read a bit of it earlier. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitalities to angels without knowing it. And then Matthew 25, 35, the words of Jesus himself. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. This is what Jesus says, is when we treat strangers, enemies in this way, we do it as if we were doing it to him. Jesus really says we're only truly loving him and following him when we are willing to love and serve anyone, even the least of people. I had to, these last couple of weeks, I had to write an essay at college on what is leadership. I mean, why am I writing that? I'm just beginning leadership. I should be writing it when I've gained a bit more experience. But one of the things that I found after just studying and reading God's word is that when you become a leader, it's not a promotion. You go down because you've got more people to serve. You've got more people to serve. You shouldn't look at yourself as going up. It should be down because you've got more people to serve. And I think that's what the gospel should do to us. Simply put, this is what I really believe. We are called to love people indiscriminately, without borders or boundaries. No ifs, no buts, no caveats, no terms and conditions. That's what we're called to do. So what might loving a stranger, a foreigner, look like in 2021? Well, at the moment, it means this. It means I put my mask on and I wash my hands and I socially distance to protect the person that I don't even know, that I don't even see. It means I love somebody regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of whether they arrived in this country on a dinghy or squashed in the back of a lorry. It means loving the marginalised, loving the vulnerable, the lost, the lonely. When we live in the reality of loving Jesus, loving God's people, loving the stranger, we bring in the kingdom of God. But the thing is, that you could just draw out attention in this third letter, because John is talking specifically here to the church, to God's people. And so let's just look at this slide that I've done here, because I'm hoping this will help us. So we're called to love the church. We're called to love the church. There's the church. The church is people who recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have turned to him for forgiveness of their sins by faith and repentance. Jesus is our head, our center, and we are gathered for that reason alone. Then we have the world. The world does do good things, loving things, compassionate things, but the world does not recognize Jesus in the way the church does, and is working against him. That's why there's so much conflict in the world. That's why the world doesn't love its neighbour, doesn't love God with all their heart. There is discrimination, there is hunger, there is the marginalised, there is racism, there is a lack of hospitality. The thing is we don't just want to stay in the church, do we? As much as we love the church, we can't love the world if we're just in the church. So we don't want to stay there just in the church, do we? But also, we don't just want to stay in the world either, do we? Because we need to be in the church with Jesus at our centre. So what do we do? Where do we need to be? Well, let's go to the next slide. Where we need to be is at the cross, right where Jesus died and rose again and has put and fixed everything. Because where does Jesus come? What do we see here? We see Jesus comes into the world. He dies, he lives, he's born, he lives, gives us that pattern of living. He dies, rises again, fixes everything, like I said, and he establishes that in the world. But what happens? As people see what Jesus has done and they turn back to him in faith and repentance, so the church is born. The church is born, isn't it? And the two worlds overlap. Church. You see, we are truly church. We are only really church when we are here in the middle. Jesus as our centre, as our head, bringing in the kingdom of God. You see, it's only when we live in the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection and what that means for us and what that means for the world, for our neighbour. That's when we become church. That's when we are truly church. We can put a building in the middle of the community, but we're only church if we fill it with Jesus loving people, willing to love and serve without borders, without boundaries, no caveats, no ifs, buts or maybes. So where is Jesus this morning? Well, we may not find his name in 3 John, but we can see him visibly in the life of Gaius and in Demetrius. Where is Jesus for you and me this morning? He needs to be right here. And there's nothing corny, there is nothing cliche about that. That is exactly where he needs to be. In our hearts. Then we will carry his presence wherever we go, in church, in the world, to the stranger, to the foreigner. So let's clear out anything this morning that we have put in the centre that shouldn't be there. Let's, by God's grace, by God's Spirit, let's repent. And let's put Jesus in the centre of our church family this morning. And let's see just how powerful and amazing Jesus is. Because that is what we will see without a doubt. And let's take those thoughts and give it back to God. And ask him to change and inspire us as we watch this last song together. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey. But
Well, it may be this morning, I hope it isn't, but for some of you, you may have to think about what's become the centre and what needs to be pushed to the side. But it also may be that some of you, you know, you are struggling at the moment, and it's tough. Life is tough. Life is throwing some tough situations up for you. Maybe this morning, it's as simple as putting Jesus back in the centre. That's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. That's where the trust comes. Let's pray together now as we finish. Lord, Father, Lord, I'm sorry when I bring things to the centre of your family, Lord, of your mission, that just don't belong there, Lord. Lord, forgive us when we make that mistake. We don't always do it knowingly, Lord. We might even do it sometimes sincerely. But we do it. And Lord, we want to say to you this morning that we're sorry when we push Jesus to the edge, to the side. Maybe he's knocking on the door this morning. Well, Lord, we also want to say to you that we love you, Lord. We worship you. We love Jesus. We love what he has done for us, Lord. He has fixed everything, and one day we will know that in such a glorious way. So, Lord, as your people this morning, you have placed us in this tiny place, Lord, for Essingfield. It's a tiny place in the local area, let alone the county, the country, the continent, the world, the universe, Lord. That's where you've placed us, Father, on mission. So, Lord, we want to say, help us to make Jesus the centre of our mission, of our hearts, of our worship, of all that we do, Lord. We ask your Spirit will come and energise us and inspire us, Lord. May we put each other's needs above our own. Lord, bind us together, as that old song says, with cords that cannot be broken. We give ourselves to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.